opening day for the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. At last report, trailing the Orioles 3-0 in the eighth inning. To get some insight on the opening day and what's ahead for the season, we're happy to be joined by our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hi there, Nick.
Pretty woman.
Yeah, nice.
Walking down the street. That's very nice. Roy Orbison to start off. That's very, very nice.
Oh, we like to set you up there. Now, are you still at Fenway or are you breaking speed laws to get back to Providence?
Well, I'm actually doing it all today. I've been taking in Fenway like you on the tube, and I actually just left a high school football game here in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Slash over the border in Rhode Island. Yeah. It's a little strange to have high school football in April, but you know what? We'll take it.
Yeah, well, I'll be broadcasting a Maine football game tomorrow and a big one next week with the surprising Rhode Island Rams.
Yep, they got UNH tomorrow. They got to take care of business. I'll be at that game tomorrow. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. My head's spinning a bit.
Well, let's see if we can make some sense out of it today. Pretty good matchup. Nate Evaldi didn't do badly, just ran up, as often is the case, a pretty high pitch count and didn't get through the sixth inning, but This young guy from Baltimore, who has always pitched well against the Red Sox, John Means, just dealing today, has only allowed one hit so far.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, and the Red Sox defense has not been very good. And it obviously cost them right after they pulled Evaldi out of the ballgame. Matt Andrees kind of struggling. It's one of those things where a pitcher comes in, he can't find his control, he gets the ground ball that he wants, and then things happen, and then it doesn't go their way. So it's the opener, you know. I won't panic yet, but you'd like to see the Sox get out to a good start, especially if they're facing a team like the Orioles.
What is it, some 4,500 fans at Fenway today? Were you surprised at all by the big reaction to the introduction of the return of Alex Cora?
I don't think so. I think it's sort of settled in, whatever your feelings may or may not be on, you know, what happened, the situation. I think he's the manager. I think people are, you know, obviously it sounded like, judging by the ovation, they're willing to give him sort of a second chance here. And, you know, he said often here that he knows he's lucky to be back in the game and to have this opportunity again. So, yeah, I was interested to hear how the reaction was, but fairly positive from Sox fans, which, hey, it's opening day. Everybody's positive.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, then, what are some reasons for you Red Sox fans in general to be optimistic that this team might be better than expected?
I think the lineup can keep them in it, though obviously it's not working today, I guess. But, you know, I think they've got a good lineup that underachieved a lot last year. I can't see J.D. Martinez having another season like he had last year. And I think he admittedly didn't really tune into last season, which is disappointing if you're a professional and you're getting paid a lot of money. But, you know, I think they still have some strong guys at certain spots. I like the addition of Kike Hernandez.
I do, too.
I think he's got a little energy to him, a little pop. I think they need that, you know, and obviously embrace the leadoff role for them. So, you know, I think hopefully that pays off. I like having a guy like a Marwin Gonzalez that, like, can do a lot of things, utility sort of thing. It's sort of, I don't know, it reminds me a little bit of that 2013 squad, just the fact that these are guys that have been in the big leagues, they can do a lot of things, they're kind of scrappy. But obviously the key, Rich, is going to be the pitching staff and what the pitching can do. And it can't get any worse than last year. They actually have guys that have pitched in the big leagues, which is good. But if they can have one or two guys step forward and be high achievers on the mound, and the bullpen can at least hold you down some nights, then I think it'll give you a chance to be competitive.
They're certainly rolling the dice with young Bobby Dalbec. We know he can hit it a long way when he makes contact. Do you feel confident that he can be, oh, I don't know, what, a 250 hitter maybe, and have enough power to justify being over there at first base?
Yeah, I think they feel that way. I think he can look. He's going to be a frustrating guy, I think, for some people, because he's going to be, as you sort of hinted at there, Rich, he's going to be a home run or strikeout guy. His strikeout totals are probably going to be high, but his home run totals could be high too. And you have a guy like that in your order, you know, okay, every once in a while. I mean, they had a guy that was sort of similar, sort of, like Mike Napoli, you know, back in the day. Mm. And Napoli was a guy that he gets a hold of the ball, you know, he hits it to the moon. But when he didn't and he got into a bad stretch and he whiffed, you know, it was sort of ugly. But if Bobby can hit, I don't know, 250, 260, you know, yeah, he might have some high strikeout totals, but, you know, drives the ball out of the ballpark, then I think that's what you can take. If it's 215, 220, then they're probably going to have sort of a shorter leash. But I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, and if guys like Martinez bounce back, if Devers has the kind of year we expect, I do like Hernandez. I think he's a terrific addition. I'm excited about what we might see from Franchi Cordero if he can get healthy. And I thought Alex Verdugo played very well last year. I like his energy, too. He brings a lot to the table and really is one of those five-tool guys.
Yeah, you want guys that – you want a team that is enjoyable to watch, Rich. And if these guys can be that sort of scrappy squad and put together some, you know, some fun, exciting wins, then I think people around here will be satisfied. You know, we in New England, we judge you by your championships, and I get that. But I think we know what the status is of this Red Sox franchise, this team, and just wanting to sort of steer it in the right direction and retool, rebuild here. So I think people know what this is. And if they can be competitive and be competitive down the stretch of the season, too, I think people will be happy, especially with some of the things we're seeing out of the Bruins and Celtics right now. There are some nights where it's uber frustrating, especially with the Celtics. You know, and the Bruins aren't absent in that too. But, yeah, that's what you want. You want guys that compete and teams that compete, and that's all you can ask for.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. All right, now put the pressure on you, Nick. Who's one guy that you think will be a surprise and exceed expectations for the Red Sox?
Ooh. Oh, that's tough. I don't know. You know, I'm inclined to say Hernandez because I like the guy. You know, maybe like an Ottavino, maybe a guy out of the bullpen, somebody that could come in, get you some outs. Maybe that's the direction. I guess I'm being hopeful there with the bullpen. I'd like to see that because I think that's what they need. So yeah, maybe like an Ottavino, or you know, maybe we'll take to a Franchi Cordero. Maybe he'll step forward and be something that, you know, surprises us and you know, plays above his head. So I guess those are a couple names I think of and I'm hopeful of.
Nice. I feel the same way. And it wouldn't be a shock because he's had success in the past and they're spending a fair amount of money on. But I think Garrett Richards is going to work out.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. And I think if a guy like Richards can step forward and, you know, pitch, you know, fairly put together some wins or give you a quality start. That's all you ask for. And I'm happy to see that Nathan Eovaldi went out there and pitched the way he did today. And, you know, if it's later in the season, he probably goes another, you know, two thirds of an inning or an inning because he only went to 90 pitches today. So, you know, that I think bodes well. If Eovaldi could step forward, if Eddie Rodriguez can be a guy that was solid like he was a couple of years ago, then you're going to be happy and have a chance to win. And that's why I think you keep coming back to the pitching and how, you know, important it can be to keep them competitive.
We'll switch to football for a moment. We had a great time watching the Bill Belichick spending spree, but the question's still out there. Who's the quarterback next season?
It's a great question. I think things got sort of hyped up maybe around this time last week with the Niners trade and thinking, oh, maybe Garoppolo is coming. And I think I was guilty on my own Saturday morning show of saying, I think Jimmy's coming. But I think now that things have settled, I've sort of taken a deep breath myself and said, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. There's a lot of talk going back and forth. I think their plan is, I think it might be Cam Newton. I think he might be the guy to at least start next season. I've always said, though, Rich, you know, whether it's Newton or Garoppolo or whoever, I'd like to see them invest in a young quarterback somewhere in the draft. He doesn't even have to be first round. Maybe it's like a Kellen Mond in the second or third round or a Kyle Trask or somebody like that. Give me a direction. Let me see what you're thinking for the future at quarterback, because I think that's been the sort of hopeless feeling that Patriots fans have had is, what's the future? Because it's certainly not Cam Newton, and we know that because of his contract and how they're going sort of year to year here with him.
I know fans are frustrated. People in the media are frustrated. Heck, Brad Stevens is frustrated, but he's not going anywhere.
Not at the moment, Rich.
No.
But if this thing keeps spiraling, I think the first guy, if you're going to change and make a big change in the offseason, and I don't think it's his fault. I really don't, Rich, but when you have a team that's sort of floundering, that's going below expectations, I think one of the first moves that usually happens is a coaching change. And it's unfortunate because I think Brad is a good coach. But if these guys don't pick it up here down the stretch and play better defensively and show up for longer stretches of the game, then in the off season, it won't happen during the season, but in the off season, you know, if there's going to be a change, unfortunately, that could be a direction.
Very interesting. Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. Nick, appreciate it. Always good to get your perspective on things. Thanks for making time this afternoon, and enjoy that game. Go Rams tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thank you, Rich, for having me, and thank you for getting me through my drive back to the station here. Very much appreciate it, and talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Nick. Nick Coit talking Boston Sports with us here on Downtown.